Time to start thinking like Big Ten people. It's almost go time. Our guest, the host of the Ruffino and Joe Show, the first team pod with our buddy Ryan Roberts on the Great Believe Network. Like me, always repping the 201 on Twitter. Follow along. Use the handle at Joe DeLeon. Joe D, always appreciate the time. How's life for you as we count it down?
Good, good. You mentioned the countdown. I'm feeling even better now that I know that the off season is it's almost done. We need some football.
You know, like me, you hail from Jersey, now call the West Coast home in Southern California. So a general thought, how wild is it? Rutgers, the biggest university in your state of your birth, is now in the same college conference as USC, UCLA, and Oregon, our current home states.
Yeah, well, so actually, I'm now back in New Jersey on the East Coast, which is, you know, good to get back to the homeland and to get to maybe see Rutgers up close and personal. But to that point, it is pretty obscure, this molding of the Big Ten, where it's coastal. It wraps all the way from the West Coast to the East Coast. And if we even were just considering the older version of the Big Ten, where it was mostly Midwestern teams, Michigan, Ohio State, Purdue, Michigan State, it would maybe feel a little bit less weird. But since not that long ago, in the first wave of conference realignment that happened 10 or so years ago, when Maryland and Rutgers joined, it really expanded the reach of this conference. It's going to feel really disorienting this season to consider that those are regularities. I'm really curious how teams, like UCLA has a brutal travel schedule. Cal playing in the ACC will have a brutal travel schedule. I'm curious to see how these teams that are going to have to go cross country, that are going to have to endure these long flights, how that is going to impact how they feel on game day, and more importantly, the upcoming following games, then they have to deal with jet lag and just any of those travel conditions.
No, it's zany. As for the Ducks, third in both preseason rankings, you know, despite the fact they lost a lot, their Heisman finalist quarterback, most draft picks in the history of the program. So just out of curiosity, from those you speak with, and of course your observations, how is this program and their young coach, Dan Lanning, viewed now on a much bigger stage?
I think from the recruiting aspect of things, I think a lot of people are acknowledging that Dan Lanning is building this thing up for what will eventually be a possibly an unstoppable force in the Big Ten, a team that is building itself along the lines of scrimmage. It feels like it is being constructed like an SEC team, and that doesn't surprise, I think, anybody, considering that Dan Lanning came over from Georgia and was coaching under Kirby Smart for as long as he did. But for this upcoming season, I think that the expectation is for them to have a roster good enough to compete with Ohio State. But where the craziness comes into play is that there's a good chance that they'll play them twice this year, maybe a third time in the playoffs if things shake up that way. It just really stinks for them that a season where they can do so many great things and it feels like their roster is primed and better than last year's team, that they're going to have to deal with this Death Star-type Ohio State program that brought back so much talent, so many key players in every single position group, and then was aggressive in bringing in stars from the SEC and Quinshon Judkins and Caleb Downs to take their team to the next step. All of that is just a recipe for a very tough team to beat. I think it's possible for Oregon to maybe steal one of those matchups, maybe the one in the regular season. But Ohio State has its eyes set on winning a national title and winning the Big Ten after playing, you know, a very, very down role in the Big Ten with Michigan dominating the past few seasons.
Yeah, you know, I was listening to you and kind of to keep that role going with Chip Kelly as coordinator, the new quarterback, Will Howard. I thought it was interesting you drew a parallel, this Ohio State team, to last year's Michigan team. So kind of further elaborate on why you love this Buckeye team so much.
Yeah, that analogy that I made was because if we look at last year, and there's so many crazy parallels that we can make, because the roster construction last year, they used NIL to incentivize a lot of guys particularly Zach Zinter, Blake Corum, who could have declared for the NFL draft to come back to school and to help lead them on that national championship run. And right now we're seeing Ohio State where Denzel Burke has even made comments about, like, I didn't come back just for the heck of it. I came back to compete for a national championship. J.C. Tuimoloau, Jack Sawyer, those guys could have declared. Travion Henderson could have moved on to the NFL, and he's going to be splitting carries with a guy who was one of the top rushers in the SEC in Quinshon Judkins. So the way that they were able to bring back all these juniors and now upperclassmen is going to help them succeed, because not only are they more gifted, but they're even more experienced. And then the other parallel that comes into this that's even crazier is that we remember last year everybody was kind of making fun of Michigan didn't play anybody at the start of the season. And I think that the first three games, I forget what they are off the top of my head. I know they played Marshall in there. They played two other G5 teams. It's like three straight weeks of playing group of five teams. We're not going to really know what Ohio State is for those first few weeks if they're as legit as everyone's projecting, because they have so many warm-up games. But again, it's just yet another parallel for Ohio State and how they compare to Michigan.
Yeah, Akron, Western Michigan, Marshall. So, like you said, crazy. There's plenty of craziness to go around, Joe. As for Michigan, I mean, man, lose their coach, quarterback, the offensive line, Blake Corum, Roman Wilson, their top money receiver. I know the defense looks strong. I mean, they got to play Texas, USC, Oregon, visit Columbus. I mean, how logical is it to see them as a legit contender?
Yeah, I just don't think that Michigan is going to, and it seems crazy to say this, contend even for a Big Ten championship game. But at the same time, just because they're not in that conversation does not mean that they can't go 9-3, maybe 10-2. And have a phenomenal year. It's just so hard to replicate the same level of success last year with all of the, not only roster turnover, but coaching turnover, to start over at quarterback, to lose a number of premier guys in your defense. Your entire offensive line is being replaced, which is really, really just crazy to think about. I'm optimistic that their run game is going to be completely fine and it's not really going to slow them down that much. And I'm also very optimistic that I think Alex Orji is going to be better than some people believe he will be. I think some people are a bit cautious because he doesn't have many throwing reps in this Michigan offense. But the kid is a crazy athlete that if maybe he isn't a great passer, he's going to be very dynamic as a rusher. I think 10-2 is realistic for them, but just for all of that complete reset and then all the drama they're dealing with, the scandal and the recruiting violations that were just handed down to Harbaugh, I think all of those distractions and a possible suspension for Sharon Moore, the now head coach, all of those things could factor into them slowing down just a little bit.
Yeah, we might have a 30-for-30 brewing. Oregon's got this connection to Wisconsin. Rose Bowls, regular season home and homes, hoops, NCAA tournament, and it looks like Tyler Van Dyke, the Miami transfer, will be the quarterback. I mean, their offense was bad. And in a rarity, it looks like there's a lot of questions on that offensive line. I do like that defense led by Mike Tressel. They draw Alabama at a conference. What's your read on the Badgers' prospects for 2024?
Yeah, I think that their offensive line is phenomenal. I'm a big fan of Jack Nelson as a draft prospect. Riley Malman, not as excited about, but the kid is massive, so he is a head above, quite literally, of other offensive linemen in the country at 6'8". I think that they're going to run the ball really well. Even if Tyler Van Dyke doesn't ever really get back to that hype that he had so long ago at Miami, they'll be able to lean on their run game. More importantly, they're going to be super hard-nosed on defense. James Thompson Jr. is somebody who I keep pointing to on their defensive line, who I think is going to be a phenomenal player in the NFL. They are slowly starting to fit the mold of what Fickell had when he was at Cincinnati, but on a higher level. It is going to take a little bit of time for him to get there. We saw how much of a foundation was required for Cincinnati to be consistently good, for them to, you know, get those three stars and develop them into eventual NFLers like Sauce Gardner, it will take a little bit of time. But this upcoming year, they're just going to be a step better and a step better every single season after that.
Couple final thoughts, Joe DeLeon, Ruffino and Joe Show, Believe Network. To USC, you just got to feel like there's heat on Lincoln Riley. We know it's always a ton of offense, but man, his 2 years with the Trojans, their defense has literally come unglued down the stretch. They draw LSU and, of course, Notre Dame. How do you see the Trojans year one in the Big Ten?
Yeah, I'm not super bullish on what USC is going to do this season. I am really excited about De'Anthony Lynn. I think that he is one of the most under-recognized defensive coordinators in the country. And I think that that defensive line is going to take a step forward. I think somebody like Bear Alexander, who felt like he wasn't getting the right type of coaching to make the improvements he needed, I think he's going to take a huge step forward. But in order to unteach all of the poor habits that they had defensively is going to take a lot. But more importantly, Caleb Williams bailed them out a ton and kept them alive so much. I know that this receiving core and this weapon room is getting older and more experienced, and there's a lot of these former five-stars, high four-stars, especially Zachariah Branch, that were true freshmen last year. There's a lot of room for optimism on offense, but I got to see what Miller Moss does. I'm one of the few people that I'm not willing to just buy the hype after one bowl game. There's plenty of people who do that. My co-host Blake is all in on Miller Moss and thinking that he might even be more better suited for that offense and less improving will be better for USC for this upcoming future. But I'm holding my breath a little bit. I think most of the Big Ten can't keep up with this passing attack, but some of the top teams that they'll have to face are so physical up front that they won't be able to keep up in those situations.
Yeah, one game against Louisville does not a Caleb Williams make. And lastly, I look at Washington and just history is like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I was reading not since Army in 1951 has a team finished number two in the country start the next year unranked. I mean, Jed Fish pulled a hell of a turnaround at Arizona. But if you look at the depth chart against Michigan, their top 11, they're all gone. You know, USC, Michigan, they got to go to Penn State, Iowa, Oregon. I mean, how tough you see their Big Ten debut?
Yeah, they're one of these teams that could get hurt by having all the travel that they'll need to do. It's not as brutal as a team like UCLA's, but their situation stepping forward, I understand why they're currently unranked and why I think a lot of people are just hitting the reset button with them. They lost a lot of depth. They lost a lot of key starters that went on to be high draft picks, a number of offensive linemen. It's going to take a lot to replenish that. Now, Jed Fish is a program builder the way that we saw he turned Arizona around in almost overnight, but it still took him a few seasons to get them to where they needed to be. So it doesn't shock me when we have a new head coach step in and it's not just a on-staff promotion like a Michigan, and most of the team sticks around like Michigan did last year, there's going to be a fall-off. The long-term future is going to be bright, but this year in the Big Ten could be tough sledding, more of a 7-5, 8-4 type of a year if things go well.
Man, I think if they get to 8-4, that's a feather in his cap.
Yeah.
Folks, he's Joe DeLeon. Catch the podcast, Ruffino and Joe, the First Team Pod. These guys cover so much, a fountain of information, all part of our friends at the Believe Network. On Twitter, keep up at Joe DeLeon. Joe, you're the man. Always great having you. Enjoy the rest of the summer. And, of course, as the season gets rolling, I'll be calling you to chat again.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
All right. Take it easy.